In the mid-1960s, the West discovered the classical music of India. The Beatles were hanging out with Ravi Shankar, the Yardbirds were playing raga rock, and a lot of sitars and tablas got sold to rock musicians who never learned how to play them. Jazz had its flirtations as well. John Coltrane wrote an atmospheric drone named India, and Ravi Shankar collaborated with Bud Shank and Paul Horn. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead remembers a 1965 attempt to fuse jazz and Indian music, masterminded by composer John Mayer and saxophonist Joe Harriet in England.
On first glance, it's a natural match. Jazz and South Indian classical music both value improvisation and rhythmic vitality. The problem is, they approach those concepts from different directions. By the mid-1970s, a few jazz musicians, like guitarist John McLaughlin and saxophonist John Handy, had figured out how to blend with Indian traditional musicians. One of the first attempts to marry the two came in 1965. The Indo-Jazz Suite was a collaboration between Anglo-Indian composer John Mayer and the Anglo-West Indian saxophonist Joe Harriet, one of the pioneers of European free jazz. Each fronted a quintet of musicians representing their respective traditions. Sensing the potential for cross-cultural confusion, John Mayer wrote out a lot of material, including all the flute parts, leaving little to chance. John Mayer's pieces echo various aspects of South Indian music, but in a stylized and regimented way. In one sense, the composer achieves the worst of both worlds. He makes the Indian musicians simplify their involved rhythms and asks the jazz musicians to limit themselves to a specific scale while improvising. Even so, in the process, Mayer invents something that resembles neither inspiration but has its own naive charm. In that respect, the Indo-Jazz Suite harks back to the 1950s and the bachelor pad exotica of fake Polynesian music. Yet the complex but unyielding rhythm patterns anticipate future trends like reggae dub records and 90s drum and bass beats. Even weirder, Mayer occasionally steps in to play a little un-Indian, un-jazzy harpsichord. The jazz soloists here, including trumpeter Kenny Wheeler, mostly play by the composer's rules. The suite would sound airless and overdetermined were it not for Joe Harriet, who more than anyone here bends the bylaws. Punching a hole in the concept, he lets in the freshness and unpredictability that is improvisation's forte. Joe Harriet and John Mayer refined their Indo-Jazz fusion concept after the Indo-Jazz Suite, but that first tentative step was prophetic. Composer Mayer anticipated the first phase of the world music movement, when he forged a common musical language by simplifying everyone's grammar. But saxophonist Joe Harriott apprehended the deeper truth that lets musicians from around the world play together with relative ease nowadays. Real interaction results not from careful scripting, but from improvisers listening to each other and responding on the spot. Come to think of it, that was the method used by John McLaughlin in his Indo-jazz band Shakti, a decade after Joe Harriott pointed the way.
Kevin Whitehead writes about jazz from Amsterdam. He reviewed the reissue The Indo-Jazz Suite on the Koch label.